Let's pray together. Our dear Father in heaven, we praise you today that you are good and that your steadfast love endures forever. Truly, Lord, we have just scratched the surface of knowing you and seeing how glorious you are, and we will spend the rest of eternity gazing and exploring the depths of how amazing you are. And we are certainly blessed to know you, to serve you, to worship you, but also to do it together as the body of Christ. What a privilege. And Lord, as we gather this morning, we gather in expectation of worship in heaven. We're broken, fallen, hurting sinners, saved by grace, and we're looking forward to the perfect worship that we will enjoy in heaven with every brother and sister in Christ around your throne, where we will sing your praises for eternity. And Lord, I pray that you would focus our eyes toward that eternal worship service that is coming up. And I pray that our hearts and our minds would be turned to the eternal, the spiritual, and the unseen things. Lord, I pray this morning for those who are not able to be with us, either sick, traveling, or shut in. I pray that you would encourage their hearts, that they would remember that you are taking care of them and that we are remembering them in our hearts and in our prayers. Lord, I pray that you would build us up in our most holy faith today as we look at your word. I pray that you would grow us up into the image of Jesus Christ individually and as the body of Christ. And I pray that we would stand firm on your word in these ever-changing times. I pray that it would be clear, guide and direct me as I speak, and I pray that your Holy Spirit would apply your word to our hearts. Change us and make us more like Jesus Christ, I pray. In his name, amen. What do you think is the best known verse in the Bible? Some people may say John 3:16, maybe. I think perhaps one of the most common verses that people throw around today is Matthew 7:1. Judge not, lest you be judged. That's the one I've heard more than John 3:16. And I think a close second to Matthew 7:1 would be a verse in 1 John chapter 4 that says that God is love. People say, why would God do that? Isn't he a God of love? Why did you do that? You're a Christian. Don't you serve a loving God? Before John gets to God is love, he says, God is light. And as I would like to explain this morning, God is light means that God is holy. God is a holy and loving God. In the Bible and in 1 John. John has two purposes for writing this letter. The first is to reject false teachers who are confusing the Christians, and the second is to encourage believers in their fellowship, in their walk with God. And as John confronts the errors of false teachers, he begins where we should all begin, and that is with God. Many errors in Christianity can be traced back to errors in our understanding about God. When someone says God, what do they think? What do we think when we say God? We must have the Bible's understanding of who God is. If we don't, that leads to many errors in our understanding, belief, and actions. So begin with God. And that's where John begins as he goes into this letter. And let me read for you 1 John 1, starting at verse 5 to the end of the chapter. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not do the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him, God, a liar, and his word is not in us. So first, the truth claim, God is light. Then we'll look at what this light exposes. This light exposes three errors. And then we'll look at the positive teaching of this passage. Two things we do and two things that God does. So first, the truth claim. God is light. When you read through the Bible, light can mean a number of different things. Salvation. Jesus is the light of the world. He brings salvation to us. But the number one rule in real estate applies to our passage here. Location, location, location. Always say it. Context, context, context. Don't go other places to define light if light is defined in the passage. Our context says that light exposes. It exposes. When I was an electrician, we often updated people's lighting in their kitchens. And there was a great relief after a long day of work cutting holes and running wires, and we're covered with drywall dust and insulation, and you flip the switch and the lights come on and they all work and your job is almost done. But when the lights come on, you see all the mess that you made. And someone's kitchen that had one light in it now has eight, and they can see all the mess they make in their kitchen. And all of a sudden, their kitchen is harder to clean because the light shows the dirt. In our passage, light exposes sin. Light exposes sin. There's several reasons that I find in our passage that light exposes. So a person walking in darkness does not see their sin. They don't acknowledge their sin. A person in the light, they acknowledge their sin. They confess it. They say the same thing as God about their sin. Light is put in terms of truth and lies. Truth and lies. And light is put in terms of moral terms, right and wrong. Truth and lies. Sin, cleansing, righteousness, justice. So light is a moral thing. It's from God. God is light. And I think the best one word to say is that God is holy. God is holy. He is true, righteous, and pure in 1 John. John uses the term holy once, but he uses righteous, pure, and true about God many times. So God is separate from sin. He is righteous, true, pure, and we are sinners. So when we see the light, we see our sin. When we see God's holiness, we see our sin. And we walk in darkness, we do not see our sin. Light exposes. The light of God's holiness exposes our sin. God is light. So the truth claim is that God is light. And this is important. God is holy. Many people today do not acknowledge that God is holy, separate from sin, pure, and above humanity. And that shows us as sinners. It's important to know that. There are three errors that oppose God's light. If you look in verse 6, it says, if we say that, verse 8, if we say that, and verse 10, if we say that. Those are the three errors, and we'll look at them. And these errors are opposed to God's purity. So the first error in verse 6 is this. We claim fellowship with God, but walk in darkness. We claim fellowship with God, but walk in darkness. When I was 16, my family took a six-week road trip across the United States. Now, we had been in South America for 4 years, and we got a year break in the United States. We would often call it furlough, or I think they call it home ministry assignment these days. So we had lots of time. So this summer, we packed our 1987 Suburban to the gills. And we even had one of those racks that goes in your trailer hitch, and we put our coolers on there. My dad and mom and two brothers and a sister and me all got in the Suburban and took off from Pennsylvania to California to back and back. And we would eat on the road. We'd eat breakfast of cereal. Our lunch would be sandwiches. And we would cook our supper in a park on a Coleman stove. It was a great adventure. And you know, somehow you get to know people really well when you're crammed in a Suburban with them like that for 6 weeks. And you know, we got along perfectly. No. We were missionary kids, but man, sometimes it got tense. So it's like if you claim to be on a road trip with God, you should know who he is. You say, hey, I have fellowship with God. I'm on a journey with God. Well, you should know him. You should be going the same direction as he is. You should have the same purpose that he does. You should know about his character. So if you say, I am on a journey with God, you should be walking beside him. And since he is light, you should be in the light as well. So when we say, I know God, I'm on a journey with God, but we're walking in the darkness, we're claiming a lie. So claiming to have fellowship with God, but walking in darkness is an error. So be careful. The other two errors we'll take together. Error two is that we claim to have no sin in verse 8. And then verse 10, we claim not to commit sin. Well, what's the difference? Is he just repeating himself? Yeah, but in verse 8, we claim to have no sin, which means I don't have an inclination to sin in me. I don't have a sin nature. That's what I think verse 8 is claiming. And verse 10 is claiming I don't do acts of sin. I don't sin against God and against people in my actions. So it's more of a heart versus an action thing. Both are errors. So if you do not claim to have sin, you are lying to yourself and to God. If you say that you have no sin, you are walking in darkness. And this is what the false teachers were claiming. We're perfect. We don't commit sin. Since we became Christians, we don't sin. When we find someone that says they do not have sin, they are walking in darkness because the light exposes our sin. Brothers and sisters, there are many errors that pop up when we deny who God is. And there are many other errors that pop up when we deny human sinfulness. Don't deny it. It's true. It's in your own heart. And we can see it in our society. Sin is the root of many, many ills in our hearts and in our society. Don't deny it. We must have a correct understanding of God, and when we know he's holy, we will see that we are sinners. So errors begin when we distort who God is, and then that leads to a distortion of who we are. If God is holy, then we are sinners. If God is not holy, then there's no standard for us and our sin. Did you notice how the three errors lead to lies? Verse 6. We lie when we claim to have fellowship but walk in darkness. Verse 8, we deceive ourselves. We lie to ourselves if we say we have no sin. And verse 10, if we claim not to sin, we make God a liar, which that sounds pretty serious. We make a complete and utter mess of the truth when we deny our own sinfulness. And if you look carefully, these errors are not just errors in our mind. It's like, well, someone has a bad theological understanding of sin, or they have a bad philosophy that they believe. No. This comes out in their actions. How do we know that someone is deceiving themselves? It says they are walking or living in darkness. They do not practice the truth or do the truth. So this is an action thing. And verse 10 has acts of sin. So this deception that we bring upon ourselves if we deny our sinfulness is shown in our actions, in our sinfulness. There's a Febreze commercial that shows this car full of rotting fast food in the middle of a parking lot. I don't know if you've seen it. And it's like a 100-degree day in Texas. And so someone takes Febreze, this miracle, whatever, spray, and sprays the car. Then they get their friend and blindfold them and bring them in and put them in the driver's seat. And all behind them is this all this rotting fast food. It's like, what do you smell? It smells like a field of fresh flowers. Unblindfold them and look around. You're in a car full of rotting food. And that's when we're walking in darkness. We got a blindfold on. We don't see our sin. But when we walk in the light, the blindfold comes off and we see our sin and we say, ew, yuck, that's me. And that's what we need to see God's holiness, so we see our sin. So that's the truth claim. God is light. He is holy. The three errors. People who deny their own sinfulness. Let's focus more on the positive teaching of this passage. Two things we do and two things God does. Two things we do and two things that God does. Number one, what we do. We walk in the light. These are from verses 7 and verse 9. Verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Walking in the light is walking in the light of God's holiness. And as we're walking in the light on a journey with God, you would expect it would say, we have fellowship with him. What does the text say? We have fellowship with one another. So you have two people that claim to be Christians saying, I have fellowship with God. I'm walking with God. They should look over and see each other. If you claim that Jesus has the wheel of your vehicle, and another person claims that Jesus has the wheel of their vehicle, you should be in the same car. So if we claim to have fellowship with him and walk in the light, we'll look around and see each other. Because we're living in the light, we see our sin, we're confessing our sin, and living in righteousness. So walking in the light brings us together around the light of Jesus Christ. So we walk in the light and can have a fellowship with one another. So number two, what does God do in verse 7? It says that Christ cleanses us from our sin. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. When we walk in the light, it doesn't mean we're perfect. It means we see our sin. And when we see our sin and confess it, what happens? The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us. The light exposes our impurity, our dirt, and our filth. Then Jesus Christ comes along and scrubs it out and cleans us up from our sin. So that's what God does for those who are walking in the light. Number three, what we do. What we do. Verse 9. We confess our sin. So when God's light exposes our sin, we see the need of Christ's death to cleanse us. So we see those two things in verse 7. But we also see something else. We see the need to confess our sins before God. What is confession? You grow up in the Catholic Church, you go to a priest and tell him what you've done wrong. That is not confession. Confession is agreeing with God. It's saying the same thing as God about your sin. It's not enough to acknowledge that you're a sinner. We must agree with God about the extent and the guiltiness and the impurity of our sin. To be careful here, 1 John 1:9 is not about salvation. It's about fellowship with God. This is for a person who's walking in the light. So if we're walking in the light, we belong to God. And this confession and this cleansing is for our increased fellowship and enjoyment of God. So sin makes cramps and distance our fellowship with our Heavenly Father. But when we confess it, He cleanses us so we can increase and enjoy our fellowship with God. This is for Christians to confess their sins and to have fellowship with God. You know, there's a trend in Christianity today, which I think the trend is good, but it's about being real and authentic. We want to be real Christians. We don't want to be fake. We don't want to be hypocrites. We should have a desire for us as Christians to be honest about our sin and our shortcomings. But it's not enough to get together as a group and say, yeah, I struggle, and to stop there. That's not enough. You can't get any group of people together and say, yeah, we're a messed up group of people. You don't need the Bible to do that. We need to have God's complete view of sin. We need to be acknowledging our sin together, but also confessing it to God and doing something about it, hating it, putting it off, and growing in holiness. It's not enough to be authentic and real about our sin with one another. We must do something about it. And that's what confession does. But also, we go on in 1 John, righteous living, growing and living like God. So the last thing that God does here is that He forgives us. If we walk in the light, God hears our confession of sin because we're His. We're in the light. We belong to Him. It's interesting here. What does it say? If we confess our sins, He is, you want to say, gracious and merciful to forgive us our sins. That's not what it says. It says that He is faithful and just. The justice and righteousness of God should terrify us apart from Christ. But it says that He is faithful and just, not gracious and merciful. He is gracious and merciful, but John says that He is faithful and just. Why does he say that God is faithful and just? That's a good question. Because if you belong to Jesus Christ, Christ has taken your sins upon Himself, and there's no more penalty, no more judgment of your sins. Christ has taken them all. And chapter 2, verse 2, it says that He is our propitiation. We'll look at that next week. It's just a fancy word that means He took our punishment for us. So if Christ has taken your punishment, God is faithful and just to forgive you your sins because Christ has taken them. He can't do double punishment. Christ has taken them. And when God looks at Christ, He says, Christ has taken your sins. So in faithfulness and justice, I forgive your sins. That's the text. I want to spend a bit of time on some application to us today. Some very important things in our text today is that God is light and walking in the light as Christians. Question is this: how do we know that we are walking in the light? I would think that's an important question to ask, because if we're not walking in the light, we don't have fellowship with God, and we are liars, and we deceive ourselves, and we don't see our sin. It's a bad place to be. So if you're walking in darkness today and you deny that you're a sinner, the call of the Bible is to repent of your sins and to trust Jesus Christ to save you and cleanse you from your sins. Then you can walk with God in the light as we Christians do. The worst problem that you could have today is that you would be walking in darkness and deceiving yourself. That's a very scary place to be. How does it show that someone's walking in darkness? From our passage, we see that these false teachers did not acknowledge their sin. We as Christians can be assured that we are in fellowship with God when we see our sin and confess it. Let me say that again, that's very important. We can be assured as Christians that we are in fellowship with God when we see our sin and confess it. Seeing our sin is a vital mark of a Christian. Later in the letter, John is going to say, the person who is born again does not continue to sin. That's chapter 3. We'll get to that. When we read that, that's kind of a shocker. Like, well, I sin. How can I be born of God? A person that's born again sees their sin. And that is the main point of 1 John 1, 1, 5 to 10. A person that knows God sees their sin and confesses it to God. A Christian does not deny their sin, but they see it. And they continue to walk in the light as they confess it. So a proper response to sin is not to deny it, nor is it to continue in guilt. So if you're in the light of God's holiness and you see your sin, you might tend to feel guilty for your sin. But that's not the proper response either. We must have the same view of sin as God does. God hates sin. It's despicable to him. But Christ took our sin, if we're believers. So to have the same view as God of our sin is to say, that's hideous. I want to turn away from it. And I know that Christ has forgiven all of my sins. So not deny it and not guilt, but saying the same thing. So we agree with God that sin is ugly, and we agree with God that his son has taken it all. So sin should be ugly in your eyes if you're a believer, but the death of Christ should be very beautiful on your behalf. The more we grow in understanding God's light, his holiness, the more we will be aware of our sin. Talk to Christians that have served God and known God a long time. They'll tell you, I'm a rotten sinner. Like, I don't know how God is gracious to me. You know why they say that? They've been walking in the light a long time. They see how bad they are. They see the depth and the extent of their sinfulness. As the light of God streams into our souls, we're going to see the sin appearing in the nooks and crannies of our hearts and our character. Yes, Christians will grow in godly character. We'll see that later in 1 John. But Christians will also see how bad they are in light of God's perfect holiness. It's interesting in the Bible, when humans get an overdose of God's light, what happens? What happens when humans get a full view of God's holiness? It pretty much completely destroys them. Think of Isaiah. We read that this morning. He saw God's holiness. What does he say? That's cool. No, he doesn't say that. He says, woe is me, for I am undone. Because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Isaiah got a surface of the sun view of God's holiness, and it shattered him. Think of Peter, the Apostle Peter, when he encountered a miracle of Jesus. Jesus put out on Peter's boat. There's a big crowd gathering. And Peter and his friends had been fishing all night, and they hadn't caught anything. And Jesus says, you know what? Put out your nets. And they're like, what? We've been fishing all night. And they trusted Jesus and they put out their nets. And they caught so many fish that two boats were sinking from the load of all the fish. And in the midst of all this confusion of boats sinking and fish flopping all over the place, Peter sees the holiness of Jesus. What does he do? He falls at the feet of Jesus and he says, "Depart from me. I am a sinful man, O Lord." That should be our response to walking in the light. Depart from me. I'm a sinful person. We should fall at the feet of Jesus when we realize how holy he is and how sinful we are. So if you're a believer, when we see the absolute perfection of Jesus Christ, his righteousness and holiness, our response should be to fall down at his feet. But if you're a believer, what do? You look up. And you see Jesus there. And you see the scars in his hands. And you see the scars in his feet. And he says, "I died for you. You're mine. I've forgiven you. You belong to me." Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, truly you're holy. And I pray that you would open our eyes to see the extent of your holiness and the extent of the sin in our hearts and our lives. And as we grow closer to you, I pray that we would hate our sin more and love Jesus Christ more. Oh Lord, we are sinful people. Thank you for the cleansing of the blood of Jesus Christ. And thank you that he spreads his hands and claims us as his own. So thank you for his continued intercession for us when we sin and when we fail you. And thank you for his forgiveness. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.